The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Hey Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Now, technically, this is going to be our mid-season of the NBA, even though we have totally blasted past the 41 game mark. But
I don't know.
The NBA season is a tale of two halves. Anyway, it's before the All Star break and after the All Star break, so we're not quite there yet.
And analysts on ESPN and all that do the same thing. They don't like it's past 41 games and we're at the halfway point. They do all the same thing. It's always around the All-Star break.
They do exactly the same thing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We'll get straight into it. It's all NBA talk. You already mentioned mid-season, so we thought we'd, I guess, get into sort of our NBA mid-season report, so to speak.
Yeah, look, I guess, submitting a report card on the league, I guess the league as a whole. We've also got just a little bit of talk that come out. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we'll sort of message back and forth about it with the talk that's gaining a lot of traction as of late is an in season/mid season tournament, which I guess that they're trying to pick the players up, I guess, a little bit, because the season is 82 games. The season's been 82 games for as long as I can remember, and even before that. But now, the players of today are requiring more stimulation. We talked about it early on that the Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young. You know, after their magical run to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they haven't been playing that well this year. But at the start of the season, Trae Young sort of, was one of the voices behind saying, oh, you know, this is just a regular season. This isn't playoffs. This is essentially saying this is boring. Like, I just want playoff intensity all the time. And that's just a fact of the NBA. It's a marathon and not a sprint.
Well, that's right. So basically, Adam Silver is a huge fan and envies the way European soccer model is, where they have these really, well, it's been forever there, but they're in-season tournaments technically. So your FA Cup, the old Carling Cup, you know, these cups that if your team, you know, let's say like the Newcastle United who are teetering sort of close to the bottom as an example, which means they're not going to be fighting for that title, but they're still alive in the FA Cup, so they have their chance to, you know, win or at least try to win a cup, so their fans get more engaged. So that concept's always been great in Europe.
But there's also 376 different teams in English soccer as well.
Well, there's a couple of differences here. So this is from Woj. I picked up when we were talking about this. So it's a structure that include December pool play, pre-Christmas quarters, semis, finals, and whoever wins, the winning team will get $1 million per player. So obviously that incentivizes the players as well.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing though. But like you said, with English soccer, you get a trophy. Like what do these guys get? Do they get some sort of bogus in-season tournament trophy and say, hooray, we won an in-season tournament trophy that bears nothing on the regular season and we all just got $1 million and let's just carry on with the rest of the season. Like it just...
This article that I picked up said is that, so what are the, like, say if the Lakers and Celtics win with their hundreds of banners, are they going to hang a mid-season banner through?
Exactly.
You know, through the rafters there? So I don't know. I think a trophy makes
more
sense.
That's the thing. It's because it's been done in English soccer for 150 years. Like there's prestige about it. And not to say that in 150 years time that this tournament can't have prestige about it, but it's just this is about big time sponsorship and TV deals, as well as keeping the players interested as well. But I just don't know how this is going to keep. I don't know how this is going to keep the players interested. The playoff intensity is just not going to be there. It's just not.
There's a couple of things. Yeah, I agree with that. I think firstly, $1 million may incentivize, you know, your fringe players and that, but you know, your Steph Curry's, your Durant's, LeBron's of the world, that I'm sure they would give up $1 million. They would have to have that extra little rest, of course, Giannis and all those. So that's, and that's what people want to see. So that, you know, therein lies that issue. Plus, just saying that, like, say they play a mid-season tournament and you've got to play, let's say 10 games, just throwing it out there. Does that mean they're going to have 10 games plus in an 82-game season? Like, that's
a lot. No, that's the thing. These games are all going to count to the regular season, and I don't – that then that then puts it – not so much puts in jeopardy, but it sort of screws around with the way that the league does their scheduling, because – then you don't know. You don't know where, you know, if it's an elimination tournament, then you don't know where you're going to be playing and things like that. So yeah, when it comes to it, then teams are going to be playing more than what other teams are, which again is not really fair to the rest of the league. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's a logistical nightmare.
It is a logistical nightmare.
It's different in English soccer, because you can travel 100 kilometers and you could go past 20 teams
in
England.
And
you travel 100 kilometers and then all of a sudden you're still in the same state. It'd be like trying to do it here.
And what happens in say that, and you already know the answer to this, but what happens in FA Cup? Say, we'll just say Manchester United and City, of course. And they're in the second round. Are all their stars going to play? No, they're not. They're going to have their fringe players all that they play to get past. So what I'm getting, so I like that idea, not so much the in-season tournament, but to me, if they want to do something to engage more fans, you either do it at the end of the season, for like the fringe players or something, so that, you know, fringe players, and you might have to say, well, you can have 10 players and you have to have one, not star player, but you have to have one player that's played in the NBA this year. I don't know. Or
what are your classes as a star? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just say that you're leading scorer or somebody like that, or, you know, on the team, because not every, you know, we got all-star, you know, we got all-star talk coming up a little bit as well, but not every team is going to have an all-star.
Or if you want to, if this is purely for like, you know, for cash grabs and everything, I honestly believe, you know, and I'm not talking about the play-in tournament, so to say 10 teams that make, you know, the finals, right? I know you got play-in tournament and everything. Why don't you do something with those other teams? Seriously, I guarantee if they had a second tier, I don't know what to call it, but let's,
yeah, but what is the goal and what is the prize at the end of this?
So same sort of thing, like a playoff style. So you finish, you know, you finished top of that. I don't know how to do it, but I'm just saying, have all
Trust
the other
me,
teams
when
playing
the, when
something.
The Orlando Magic are finished playing their 82 games this season and they've barely won 20 games, they're all going to be like, I don't really want to play any more games. I want to go to Disney World and I want to go and have my holiday. I want to go and have my vacation. I don't want to go, cool, I've still got 4 more games left on the schedule.
You'd have to incentivize
them. We can get our asses
as well.
Beat.
You'd have to
incentivize other poor
them as well. But they would only be playing teams that aren't in the actual NBA proper finals. So, I don't know. I just, I'm with you. I think,
but then it does. That means you've still got games at the end of the season. Where is the incentive to get into the playoffs then? It's like, oh well, it's a secondary prize. You know, we didn't make the playoffs, so we'll just play another 4 game, or, you know, however many games that they want to play. It's just that then is diluting the product. The play-in tournament is diluting the product.
Well, that's not going away, but I'm with you. I think it's a logistical nightmare. I don't see how it incentivizes the players. All that it would incentivize is the owners and sponsors. So
See, the thing is, like, the league is more exciting and more explosive than what it's been in a very, very long time.
Well, that's the difference.
That's due to the overkill of offense, and nobody plays defense anymore.
Correct, and that's why we have so many, like, you know, it's not just three or four teams that are vying for the title. You could literally say there's 10 or 12 teams that maybe not genuinely have a chance, but there's 10 or 12 teams that have stars on each team. It's a lot better. There's a huge amount of stars now to me.
There's not one team in the NBA at the moment that is averaging under triple figures in points allowed.
Correct. You're right. You're exactly right there. So what are you, leading in, we'll talk about all-star votes and where that's sort of sitting at the moment, but leading in to up to the sort of mid-season, even like you said, we're past it. How do you think the style of play has been going? Like, have you liked how everything's been going? Especially with the new rules and all that.
I've been watching more and more as the weeks have gone past. I guess the NFL has sort of taken a little bit of precedence over the NBA at the start of the season. I've probably been watching the most NBA since Christmas.
Because
which has been a month.
You get the
trash out of the way at the start of the season. Everybody forgets about what everyone's done before Christmas anyway. So I like the way that the league is going at the moment. Like, not so much, in nobody likes to play defense. You know, I think there's a gigantic disparity between offense and defense at the moment. But
we'll talk about it later. But I think there's certain teams that are very old school orientated at the moment and playing defense, like the old school defense. But I'll talk of that in my surprises later. I just say, you're right, for the most part, you're exactly right. It's completely offensive-minded, and, you know, they want to see – I mean, it's okay, but they want to see fans, you know, your 7-foot centers like Joel Embiid shooting a three. They just do. So it's not so much
that they want him shooting the three. It's the fact that he actually can shoot the three and shoot it at a fairly high clip without – without having to go out there and take, you know, 7, 8, 9 threes a game, which is just, for somebody his size, is just complete and utter overkill. That's part and parcel of it. Like, you know, the three point game is king at the moment. And like you said, there are a few teams out there that are sort of going away from that, and you know, they're becoming, you know, an individual, so to speak. But that's good for the league. Like, you've got to have those outliers there to make the league a little more exciting.
So in mentioning all that, we'll talk about surprises first. Your surprise players, teams so far at our mid-season.
I mean, look, the biggest surprise is the way that the Chicago Bulls are playing at the moment, and the way that they've gelled with a lot of new pieces on that team, and the way that they've gelled so quickly, and it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, we both said we've said it every time we've done an NBA pod, but there's no way we thought will they be second in the East now, currently at 30-17, but there is no way we thought that with all the pieces there, they wouldn't be defensive minded. I wouldn't say it's all this guy, but DeMar DeRozan has really put that team on his shoulders, and especially he's been
king of the mid range.
He wants the ball, no one else.
That's right.
Other people do, but he takes the ball, which is good. That's what you want out of your star player.
That's right. And there's two guys at the moment that are out there that are stars in this league that have just completely gone away from the three point field goal altogether. DeMar DeRozan is one of them. Not that he hasn't gone away from it completely, but
he's hit a couple of them.
The other one's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, he has.
And it's the same thing. He's the guy that you want at the end of the game with the ball in his hands, because he is a good distributor. You know, he's great at drawing fouls and getting to the line. But if need be, especially with the Miami Heat, he's still got guys that are deadly from behind the arc, and if you need a big three, then they're the guys that are going to be able to do it. And Chicago, I would probably trust a couple of the guys on the Heat, you know, like Tyler Hero, like Duncan Robinson, with a big time three, than what I would with some of the guys that Chicago has. You know, Zach LaVine has been he's been an amazing shooter for a while, but that's really kind of your only threat, really, that's going to hit that dagger. Lonzo Ball is super streaky. Alex Caruso, who's not there at the moment.
You're going to have those two. You're right. It's just going to be those two, and that's basically it. I agree with the Bulls. I also had down, because, you know, same situation, all these pieces together, I didn't think they would be there where they are, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland Cavaliers, absolutely.
Evan Mobley is
the rookie of the year.
Yes. Shouldn't have fell to number three. Well, I like Scotty Barnes. I know, yeah, we can, you know, digress into the picks later, but he's that old, that again, this is what I was talking about. He is that old school defensive minded Tim Duncan mixed with Kevin Garnett kind of player. Then maybe throw a little bit of Chris Bosh in there. Like I had no earthly idea that it was going to work with Jared Allen, with Laurie Markkanen, and with...
Well, Jared Allen is super defensive-minded as well. He just wants to go out there and get blocks and get rebounds. I don't think he really cares if he's getting a lot of shots.
And Laurie Markkanen, because it has worked. And the biggest thing that's worked out of it is Kevin Love has, even though he's getting paid all that money, has really just said, yeah, I'm going to have to be the sixth man on this team. Or he's been told he's being this, and he's swallowed the pill, basically. And it's working.
Yeah, he's taking a back seat to the youth movement that's happening there at Cleveland.
It's working. It is absolutely working. I am shocked at where they're sitting. I didn't think all three of them were. Ricky Rubio got them to where they were at the start. Darius Garland is and now he's injured, unfortunately. But Ricky Rubio and Darius Garland got them to exactly where they were. But Darius Garland is probably going to be an all-star this year because he's playing phenomenally.
Most likely, yeah.
So that it's complete. They're going to be in the NBA finals. It doesn't bother me, but I've heard this. I don't know if you've heard this, but a couple of NBA guys are saying, wouldn't it be funny if LeBron just decides to tweet out, it'll be calculated, but just go, I like what's happening at the Cleveland Cavaliers movement at the moment.
Yes, which just means that
everything is
blind.
If it happens, I'd love it, because we'd have to take Kevin Love's contract. We'd have to take a Jared Allen. I would like it.
I don't see that happening. I think he's quite comfortable there in La La Land. I don't see that happening. How does Jared Allen and Kevin Love fit in with Anthony Davis? There's your question.
Oh, it's not going to happen. I honestly think the Cavs won't do anything, even as LeBron would push to go there. I don't think that's happening to me, to be completely honest. The other surprise, only because it's, you know, I had a couple of East, but at least for me, the other surprise in the West is, we have to name them as Memphis Grizzlies.
They've taken the league by storm. Since Thanksgiving, so on and around Thanksgiving, they were 10-10. Yeah, they're now 33-17.
That trade that they did.
It's been unbelievable, and it's man, and a lot of it is on the play of Ja Morant. Like, Ja Morant has just grown in leaps and bounds this year, but they've got good complementary pieces as well.
They have very good complementary pieces. Baines
has been great.
Oh,
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. Yeah, Brandon Clark has been great as well. I think that trade that they did with your team to get Steven Adams has been a quietly bonza trade for him, so to speak.
To me, that is one of the trades that's happened in the offseason. That was a win-win.
It was win-win for both. You're exactly right.
Valanciunas has been putting up monster numbers for New Orleans.
And Adams actually looks really good with Jaren Jackson Jr. Triple J.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're completely surprising me. My only concern is, I don't think they're going to make noise in the playoffs, but because their youth, the youth that's happening at the moment. But my biggest concern, I guess, with Jar is, doesn't he just, he's like young. This is what these two guys did with their young Derrick Rose and young Russell Westbrook. Where he's just 1,000 miles an hour at the hoop. And you know, like Derrick Rose in that first couple of years, like he got that MVP, but he was going 1,000 miles and he got injured and it derailed his career a little bit. Westbrook really hasn't, but he just needs to slow. He takes some unbelievably crazy not stunts, but he's just like
he wants to dunk on every single person in the league.
Yeah, well, that block that I don't know if you remember seeing that block that he chased down block that he did, and he touched nearly the top of the backboard was absolutely unbelievable. I can't remember who he chased. So he chased. He lost the
unbelievable
ball.
Unbelievable athleticism.
He lost the ball. It was a steal, and he's obviously done the turnaround chase. Like that LeBron one on Iguodala.
On Iguodala.
But this was just amazing because Morant nearly touched the top of the back, like literally the top of the backboard to block this right up against it. It was just, it was ridiculous. Disappointments.
Injury has really derailed this team. Like the LA Clippers. I think they're skating a little bit because I don't think we're talking about them enough. And look, they're just staying afloat at 500, which is an absolute testament to them. But obviously with our PG-13, Kawhi Leonard, who in the hell knows what he's doing, if he'll come back this season, if he's going to be any good. The PG-13, like they've really sort of slumped off at the moment. I'm just not sure that they're in total and utter limbo at the moment.
It was hard. I didn't put them in disappointments, but yeah, just talking about them, it's hard to put them in disappointments because with who they have at the moment to be at 500 is kind of commendable, to be completely honest. We're not talking about them that much because you don't have your Kawhis and PG-13s there. So
about them enough because the Lakers are always casting an umbrella over everything in Los Angeles, and that's another reason why there is no star there at the Clippers at the moment. So they're just being dwarfed at the moment.
Wait till we talk about trades. I heard a big trade possibility for the Clippers, which would be for a star. A star that would, it's just, yeah. It's not Ben Simmons, but it's a star. It's an interesting star. Who we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, that's fair. Like, you know, I just think they're doing amazing to be where they are. I am kind of like half, I guess, sort of shocked. Only because I don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go, but I have this down as a mid-season disappointment. Brooklyn Nets have KD.
See, they're being derailed by injury and you know, also another player. Correct. Who wears number 11, but they're in the same boat. Like that, they just don't have the depth there. And with Joe Harris not being there at the moment, KD's not there, James Harden missed the last game.
So this is what I'm getting at. So you've got, you know, no Kevin Durant. Kyrie only plays on the road. James Harden, like you said, is sort
of that's a reflection on them at the moment because they're like 11 games over 500 on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Their four spots to be Joe Harris has been basically, to me at least, obsolete at least this season.
He hasn't been there for 2/3 of this year, and it looks like his injury rehab has had a setback, and he's going to miss more time. He's going in. I think I heard on a broadcast a couple of days ago. It might have been the Brooklyn Lakers game a couple of days ago, and he's going to like Indianapolis to go get another opinion.
So I don't know what they do because they can only rely on they're not probably in the same situation as Lakers, and you've got all these players you have to sort of, I guess, deal with it regardless. You've got Kyrie and Irving and everything like that, but they are. Have a guess what you think the amount they're over the luxury tax of? Over the luxury tax.
I'd say that would be in quite a hefty luxury tax debt.
$110 million.
And see, that's the thing but for them it's an unproven commodity. It's different if, you know, this was a couple of years ago after the Warriors had won championships. They were in the same boat. They were in nine figures over the luxury tax, but they've got the runs on the board, so to speak. Brooklyn have nothing. They have no runs on the board. There's nothing up in those rafters there at the Barclays Center. Do you know what I mean? They've got to prove it. And I'm reading things about it was James Harden a little bit disgruntled at the moment. He just wants to win, and that's the whole reason why he went there.
And he's opted out and re-signed. It doesn't mean he can't still re-sign later, but he's opted out of that extension. Doesn't mean he can't re-sign.
No, absolutely not.
Because of course he wants to win because Kevin Durant has a ring, Kyrie Irving has a ring, James Harden has no ring, so of course he wants to win. I think they need to do a trade.
But for what?
Well, the only person, and this is what I was talking about before, they honestly need to trade Kyrie Irving. It's not out of the realms of improbability. The dude's only playing technically. Oh, it's either that or pay his fine or pay the fine. Because players are coming in to New York unvaccinated that are going into, you know, these games. So you either pay the fine or trade him. Because that, to me, they're the only two plausible options.
Kyrie's the one that holds all the cards because if Correct. He comes out like he did towards the start of the season and say, well, if you trade me, then, you know, if it's not a favorable trade destination for me, I'm just not going to play.
You don't think the Clippers would be a favorable trade destination? I know there's going to be a big package, but it's not a bad idea.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, but who do you give up for him?
Well, you'd have – I know. I was floating it out. I haven't looked properly into it. It'd be obviously some you'd have to keep Kawhi and you'd have to keep Paul George, but it'd be a few others.
So that means the Brooklyn Nets are not doing business.
It's not going to benefit them because they're winning now as well. So I don't know. I think if they're going to do anything – they have to pay the fine or get traded. And if they're not going to trade him, you have to pay the fine. Otherwise, they're in massive trouble. And that's why I think they're a disappointment.
And that means that $100 plus million in luxury tax is going to cost them even more.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Did you have any disappointments?
I think a huge disappointment this year out of the Eastern Conference is the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they're an interesting team. I think you and the same as me, we rate the Pacers because they got the big name
coach signing. They got Rick Carlisle there. They've got stars on that team. You know, you might not class Malcolm Brogdon as a star, but he's definitely an emerging player. when it comes to the league at the moment. There's all sorts of trade rumors that are floating around with them at the moment as it comes to as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is February 10, I think we sort of said before. So, you know, in two or so weeks from now. So lots of talk is going to be on about whether they try and shift Miles Turner, whether they try and shift Sabonis, whether they try and maybe make a deal for somebody along the lines of Malcolm Brogdon. I'm not sure what their status would be if they wanted if somebody come out there and gave them a deal that I guess that they couldn't refuse for Malcolm Brogdon. So look, for them to be, you know, where they are, that they're six and a half games out of the play-in tournament. They're a long way off. Yeah, a long way off. They're like eight games out of the eight spot in the East. They're in a little bit of purgatory, but they do have assets that I guess that they can sort of shift around a little bit. Like we said, the likes of Sabonis and Miles Turner, that I guess that they can, that there's pieces there that I think teams
would
like. And whether or not they could get some picks for, like, you know, you've got guys there that you know, especially someone like Caris LeVert, who is coming off the health scare and injuries. They've got their favorite son back there in Lance Stephenson, who signed a 10-day contract and then he's been pretty much picked up for the rest of the year.
I agree. I believe they are. Look, if they're going to push to at least to the
we haven't seen the star of the Orlando restart, and I don't like using that B word, like, you know, TJ Warren, Mr. Flash in the pan. Where's he at?
Nowhere.
Still hurt.
Nowhere. They
so you can't even get any value for him because he hasn't played for so long.
I agree. I think they're a you know, not a win now team, but they're definitely a trade now team. I think clearly Miles Turner and Sabonis,
they would be in the game of collecting assets, I think.
Well, I don't think get rid of both of them. Decide who you want, but you clearly need to get rid of either Miles Turner or Sabonis.
It's not working between those two.
You're probably right. I think you move Brogdon on, and I don't know if blow it up or just find, because those players will complement any team, but then get players that you need or picks that you need to rebuild, because they're just in, it's a weird purgatory. Like that last game that they just before, their very last game against the Hornets, that score was 158 to 126.
150, and they got 158 points put on them in regulation. That is disgusting.
It's disgusting / amazing that scoreline, obviously, but my God, I mean, that Kelly Oubre got 39 points in 35 minutes playing off the bench. But that's what I mean. They have to be in the market to trade. They have to be.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing, that they've got pieces there that I think that they can move on for. Or, you know, can move on from and get whether it's draft picks or get some complementary pieces to help them sort of rebuild this team and rebuild it quickly.
I had another disappointment, I think, because and it's not so much. Well, I know it is a disappointment because of where they were last year. And that's the New York Knicks.
I mean, they started off the season hot, and they've been horrendous as of late.
They obviously re-signed Julius Randle, and that's unfortunately that, you know, he had that one massive year last year, and I wouldn't say he's in a tailspin, but he's nowhere near where he was playing last year.
No.
They did a really good trade to get Cam Reddish, and I think that's a really smart trade, Cam Reddish with RJ Barrett. I think I like Cam Reddish. I think that's a really good piece.
And the thing is too, they turf Kevin Knox away, who they haven't been using. So this is an absolute win for the Knicks.
And they've got
to get a play that they will actually use, because they just haven't been using Kevin Knox very consistently.
And they've got they've got young pieces in Mitchell Robinson as well. And if you want to throw him in, Obi Toppin. But I think, you know, speaking of trades, I don't see him making play-in. And I think
they'll have to turn it around. They'll have to get their defensive mentality back like they had last year.
I know
you
just got these guys, but I think you need to – I honestly think they need to trade their vets, Rose, Walker, and Fournier. I know you just got them, but I know they're not producing for their team. Fournier is probably the best out of the three. But that's it.
I would be looking for, man, how much, what a fall from grace for Kemba Walker. Good God.
Ever since that injury that he had in Boston, it's
unbelievable.
Been,
like he's an absolute shell of the player that he was in Charlotte.
It's consistent to what everybody says about players that are 6 foot or under. Is that their longevity is just not really good in the league. The only difference to that piece at the moment is Chris Paul. He's the only player that's completely different. But generally, the rule of, you know, of any player that's under 6 foot, the longevity just isn't there. Under 6 foot, because most players are 6'1", 6'2", you know. But he's 6'8", and I think Chris Paul's 5'11" or maybe 6 foot.
I think he's 6 foot. I think CP3's just on the 6 foot.
Yeah, so he would be the exception to the rule to me, because he's, you know, that I don't think he'd sign for another $40 million contract, but it's been fruitful. That team is just on fire.
Right. Like, you know, if you take into account, you know, that's the league at the moment. Yeah, that I guess. It's not so much longevity. You would think that guys that are around that height would be able to flourish a little bit, because they're not taking the beatings that they would have in previous decades, whether it's the 80s or the 90s. When it comes to, I guess, sort of smaller players. But look, you look at someone like, yeah, you know, it was absolutely my favorite player back in the day, Muggsy Bogues.
Mm.
Like he had a couple of serious injuries throughout his career. He still played 13 seasons in the league. He was 5'3".
Yeah, he played 13 seasons, but he had that. I'm not against all these players that are under 6 foot, because we're under 6 foot, so I'm definitely not against them. But the longevity and consistency through that career isn't there for, you know, especially you have to say Kemba is a star player. Muggsy tailed off a lot in those last few years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But for the most part...
His last few years in Golden State and Toronto were, you know, much to be desired. But, you know, he was 36 when he finished playing. So, you know, his peak was obviously around those mid-90s Charlotte Hornets team when he had guys with him like Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning and they were a smidge of successful. When it come to that sort of era. But you know what I mean? It's, I mean, 13 years in the league, and to be as productive as what he was at 5'3" is simply amazing. Yeah, I think of somebody, you know, guys along the lines of Spud Webb. Spud Webb was what, 5'7"? Earl Boykins was like 5'8".
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. There's a few exceptions to the rule, but generally under 6 foot. Well, Kemba's is what I'm saying. They're a team that
look. They rely a lot on athleticism, and when that goes, you need to be able to evolve. And he just hasn't really evolved into a different player.
And they're because they spent, I guess, you know, a lot of money on Julius Randle and got Evan Fournier in and everything like that. So because they're over the cap at the moment, so. I mean, they want is just like everything in Madison Square Garden is they want a star there, like a star, like that.
They haven't been able to trade for a star.
I know, but they
They traded for Carmelo Anthony. You know, they ended up getting Amari Stoudemire, which didn't really work. But aside those, like, they haven't been able to attract that superstar in their prime to the Garden, and it's so hard because you hear a lot of people still say that Madison Square Garden is still the mecca of basketball, but nobody wants to go and put the jersey on.
Because of the absolute pressure.
I think the pressure is there because it's the bright lights of New York City. But and look, that could be the same thing. It's what's happening in Brooklyn as well. Look, you know, it's across the river, but they've got the weight of expectations on them as well. And the New York media is ruthless.
Did you hear? You know, before we move on, did you hear? Just speaking of the Knicks, a player that's actually heavily linked to the Knicks, depending on what's happening this season with his team, heavily linked. Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, wow.
Heavily linked. Rick Bucher from Fox Sports.
What is the deal?
Well, I mean, they'd be able to put pieces together because it'd be a high draft pick and so forth like that. But Rick Bucher reckons he spoke to some executives and they believe that if they end up doing another first round exit, Donovan Mitchell might force a trade.
Utah.
Yes.
I think he's getting really frustrated with that. Look, regular season success is terrific. But if you can't parlay that into postseason success and make a conference final, make the NBA finals, then it's all for naught.
Basically, the incessant buzz around the league is that Mitchell, those in Mitchell's circle who believe he's a too big of a star for Salt Lake City. This is probably half true.
Don't start with the geographical stuff, as a reporter. Don't give me the geographical stuff.
Furthermore, with what happened with Rudy Gobert, and their fractious relationship. Some say it's only a matter of time before he joins former creative arts agency agent, so his former agent and current New York Knicks president Leon Rice.
Yeah, that's the link there, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. It's Leon Rice.
So that would be, I mean, that if they get him, you know, that is a guard.
Well, that's box office.
That massive box office. Because he's not even getting talked about. We'll talk about that straight after this, but he's not getting mentioned, and he will be there, but he's not getting talked about All-Star at all.
Well, he's hurt at the moment.
I understand that, but so is Kevin Durant. This is what I'm saying, votes and all that. This is what I'm getting at. I'm saying if he was in New York hurt, I know Kevin Durant's otherworldly. I'm not comparing him. But what I'm saying is if he was in New York, has a season that he does and then still gets injured, I guarantee he gets more votes just being purely in New York over Utah. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I believe that's true. I really believe that's true because of the exposure. It's just here. That sounds dumb and it's not right because I know you have you're on a small market team yourself, so it's not right. But unfortunately, it's true.
That's just part and parcel of it. Like you put in the same bad look what Ja Morant's doing. Memphis technically is the smallest market in the NBA.
Yeah. They'll need to do what basically Milwaukee did with Giannis and like just literally just go heaven and earth to re-sign a Supermax.
Absolutely they will.
And Giannis now is to me the king of Wisconsin. Except I don't think the other guy in the other sports king of Wisconsin anymore because I'm pretty sure they're outing him. But that's another thing we'll talk about in another pod for NFL.
We'll wait and see in another couple of months, I guess. to stay on the Jazz a little bit. They're a very heavily slumping team at the moment. I think Rudy Gobert is having one of the best seasons, if not the best season he's had. Even though, last week he got absolutely eviscerated by by Russell Westbrook on that dunk. it just destroyed him under the hoop. They have been a very heavily slumping team as of late. Yeah,
I'm just not overly disappointed.
They won six straight before Christmas or around Christmas, but since then, they've lost 10 of 14.
I think a lot of
that is, you know, the missing of Donovan Mitchell. He's been in and out of the lineup. Rudy Gobert has been in and out of the lineup. They're relying a lot on Mike Conley at the moment, you know, on Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich has been playing with a busted hand, you know, a busted finger the last couple of weeks. So, you know, they're a busted up team at the moment, and it's really showing. And they've started to fall away, you know, from the top teams in the West.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned because I think they have the, once they're healthy, they have the absolute talent to get, you know, possibly close to back into the top four. They might not get top four, but they have the talent there. They really do. They're very, very.
They do, but they, I think, again, you know, I think they're a top heavy team. I think they lack a little bit of depth.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think I guess it's more, they're more injury. That's the problem. The problem I think I have with them.
And that's a part of it.
All-star. I mean, our pod sort of timed perfectly because the starters just got named a few hours before we started doing this pod. I think it was a few hours. The Western Conference starters, I mean, and again, we'll say this because you'll need to know this. It's 50% fan voting. It's 25% players/executives, and then 25% analysts, I think, is the breakdown generally.
The media definitely gets media
is 25, and then I think the 25 is players/coaches. I think that's the other 25. So,
I think more so the coaches, not so much the players. I think the coaches get to pick like the last spot on the roster.
Oh, they definitely pick the last spot, but I think they also, yeah, I think the players/coaches have an influence at least in the starters. So, the West, I mean, LeBron James was the top vote getter in the West. So it's his fifth year, so he'll be the captain of the West, earning his 18th All-Star selection. So he's tied Kobe for second all time behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who got 19. So they've got LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, first-time Ja Morant, who other things deserved, and first-time Andrew Wiggins.
That definitely raises more than the people's eyebrow. You know, when it comes to naming Andrew Wiggins as a starter. Look, he's having a phenomenal year. He's been the second best player on a Warriors team that's been, you know, unfathomable this year, even though they've dropped off a little bit. Look, you know, Curry's sort of, I think that there's a little bit of the weight of the world been lifted off his shoulders after he went past Ray Allen a few weeks ago. Now he's passed the 3,000 mark in 3-point field goals made. He had a game a couple of days ago where he was like 1 for 13. And not to say that he can't have those sorts of performances, but he's been a little underwhelming, and I think that's got to do with the injury to Draymond Green. I think he's their main facilitator of the offense there, and I think that's really hurting Curry at the moment. I think him and Clay won't take very long to get back on the same page, but they definitely need Draymond Green there. But we're sort of going away from that a little bit. Andrew Wiggins is definitely eyebrow raising when it comes to a starting position.
To a starting position, correct.
Yeah, a starting position, because I think that absolutely belongs to Luka Doncic.
Well, we could debate about that, but it raises eyebrows because, you know, the tweets that it went, obviously, when this got named out, like, you know, some people saying, oh, they don't even think Andrew Wiggins is the second best small forward on the Warriors, let alone, you know, the small forward in the All-Star game. Some are saying, oh, I'm not disrespecting Wiggins, but he's a very good player. At least this year, he's been a very good player. Does he have some kind of enormous overseas following we don't know about? So,
well, you're telling me the story.
So there's, and you know, this is on Reddit, so it's hard to, you know, like everything, you take it for a grain of salt, but there's a South Korea K-pop, which is basically Korean pop, if people don't know, and I don't listen to it, so I'm not going to go into the debates of that, but it is massive in South Korea, and South Korea have like billions of people worldwide. There's a singer in the South Korean boy band named Bam Bam. I'm not making this up. Named Bam Bam in the South Korean boy band GOT7. So he, Bam Bam.
Game of Thrones 7?
Game of Thrones 7. he has quietly.
He's not part of the Flintstones, though, is he? Like, let's just get that clear.
Not that I know of, but you know, who knows really these days. So he's, you know,
bit Korean, of a dated reference.
Who cares? he only has 15.5 million followers, just that one guy and just that one band. He's a huge Warriors fan, so much so he's actually the South Korean.
So he's the South Korean Justin Timberlake.
He's also the South Korean official ambassador for the Warriors. So he's a South Korean.
Until you said that to me earlier tonight, I didn't even know that was a thing or you know, something.
I don't know as a thing either. I didn't know it was a thing either. So if he's got 15.5 million followers, why wouldn't you jump on that bandwagon?
No, yeah, absolutely. I'd be interested to find out who the official ambassador for the Golden State Warriors is in this country. But anyway, carry on.
Good point. Well, maybe
don't have 15 million followers.
Probably got 20 million, 20 followers. I don't think they got official ambassadors anywhere. I think this is purely because this guy loves the Warriors and his favorite player is Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, he loves Steph Curry, but he has been smashing posts on Instagram to his 15.5 million followers saying how great Andrew Wiggins is, and you should all vote for him because I'm voting for him. And that basically, that could be just 15.5, not going to be all of them, but that's 15.5 million people.
Lee, Andrew Wiggins had close to a million votes, though, didn't he?
He did. So you would say that you would easily say most of them are probably this guy.
Could be very heavily influenced.
But like, digressing from it, he deserves to be in the All-Star this year. We're just not saying he should be the All-Star starter. The East starters, I mean, some of these are straightforward, but your captain will be and leading vote getter in the East was, again, Kevin Durant, so the same captains as last year.
Is he going to be there and healthy?
Undecided still, apparently. I don't think so. He didn't last year. He got to pick all these players, but he didn't last year.
No, that's right.
And also, just so you know, LeBron's gunning for a fifth 5-0 win rate since he's become a GM.
I think he's been a GM longer than 5 years.
Yeah, I guarantee he has. So Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, who's just having MVP season numbers.
Oh my God! Like if he's not there, you know, in the top three or four for MVP votes, that's a travesty. He has had an absolutely monstrous. He's been on a tear as of late. He had a 48-point game recently. He's had a 51-point game recently. He's just been on fire.
Giannis obviously got in there. Their backcourt is Trae Young and not first time, but first time starter DeMar DeRozan from the Chicago Bulls.
Just having one of those seasons where it's in a big one and look, that could be a part of it as well. Look, Chicago, it's a huge market. Chicago is.
And I think it, just so you know, it is officially 25% is media and 25% is actually players. Coaches only have a say in the actual other positions, not the starters. So so much so that this is just a little tidbit. Two players out of the entire players voted for Ben Simmons. Two players. And
those players are most likely Rich Paul, Clutch Sports.
I would say they'd probably be LeBron James and probably Anthony Davis. To be completely honest, I think that'll be the only two players.
That's definitely plausible. I'm sure that they're employed by Clutch Sports.
And 25 votes went to Kyrie Irving. 25 players voted for Kyrie Irving. So
look, I don't mind the Kyrie Irving, even though you know he's only been back for you know not quite a month. Look, and he looks pretty good, you know, as he's played on the road this year. But for Ben Simmons to get two votes.
For not playing a single minute, that's absurd.
That's absurd.
For not playing one single minute, That's great East All Stars. All those ones that deserve it. I mean, it's all pretty straightforward there. I just wanted to say with just in that, the coaches will name the reserves in. On Feb 4, do we see any shocks, or is it all pretty straightforward? You think?
I think it is pretty straightforward. I'd say that there'll probably be some spots opening up due to injury, like you know, none more than Kevin Durant, as we were saying there before. The only sort of maybe shock that I could see is maybe Klay Thompson squeaking in there.
I did think of that. I think. I don't know if this is a shock, but I think he needs to be in there for entertainment value, and because he is really good on their team, and LaMelo Ball would probably be in there, correct? He'd have to be.
Look, why you know, not? If you're going off the guards voting, I mean, like the Eastern Conference is stacked. Like you've got you know James Harden who's missed out. You know, on being a starter over Trae Young, but so you've still got to have James Harden in there. You probably still got to have Zach LaVine in there.
Oh, Zach LaVine.
Kyrie gets in there for some LaMelo Ball, I could see missing out, but I think that he would absolutely make the Eastern Conference. He would make them super exciting.
Oh, I guarantee they will, and I guarantee
he would make them Showtime.
Well, I'm just saying, if he's picked, I guarantee LeBron will pick him. I guarantee LeBron will pick him because he'll know what he could do. This is not a shock, but I'm hoping this guy will be in there, and Karl Anthony Towns should be in there this year. I think he's had a wow of a season this year, an absolute wow of a season.
I mean, yeah, he should definitely get consideration.
He's averaging 24 points per game on 51% shooting from the field and 81% from the line. 9.4 rebounds.
That's
1.3 blocks.
Nearly ten rebounds a game. Like 9.4.
So nearly. And one and a half blocks per game. I think he has. I think he will be. I think the coach has picked this, and I think he will be. To be completely honest,
if it's a coach's pick, then yeah, I would think that he will. That he will be in there most likely as the second, I guess the second big man there. But the other thing is too, like you know, you've got Jokic there. Where does that leave it? Does Anthony Davis miss out altogether? Because if you have Jokic, 6'10", or you know, what's he, 7 foot? You have Karl Anthony Towns, 6'10", 6'11". You're not having three guys on that All-Star team at 6'10", 6'11 plus. I don't see it. That's not the way that the league is at the moment.
No, but then also don't forget, they're all necessarily going to play on this. On
no,
the
that's,
West.
Yeah, that's so, right. Like, so it's, yeah. And,
well,
and
you, see, I would say, think, I'd have to think throw with
LeBron's, LeBron's I think, first pick will be Anthony Davis.
I don't think Anthony Davis will be there. I'll be absolutely surprised if the coaches pick him. I'll be and I'm a Lakers fan. I just don't think that's going to happen. Not currently over Karl Anthony Towns. And then you mentioned this guy before. I don't believe they should pick him over Rudy Gobert. I think he's half deserving. Well,
Rudy Gobert he's obviously missed less games. Like I think Anthony Davis has missed 17 games this season. It's just the timing of the injury. Like, he's only come back this week.
Yeah, but you know, but they've been 1-4 since he was gone, basically. You know, he's leading 15.1 rebounding per game and second in blocks 2.3. I think he should be there, which means that's four big men, but I don't think it really makes a difference. I know what you're saying, but I'd love to see more
big men in there, because you know this era of big guys that are 6'10", 6'11", like the skill level is unbelievable. And yeah, it's a testament to the way that the game has evolved over the last 20, 25 years. You know, since we last done the NBA at 50, you know, now we're the NBA at 75. And you know, some of these guys at that height and the body types that they are is truly amazing.
Oh, I think Jokic, the way he plays and how good he is, he could play till he's 45. Why not? He doesn't move that much. He doesn't need to move that much. He distributes the ball. I think if he keeps the weight down, like, and keeps away consistently the way it is, I think he could honestly play till he's 45, which sounds ridiculous, but I believe he could.
NBA's Tom Brady.
So just to finish on, do you have any, you know, we've mentioned it sort of during this, but do you have any trade deadline? We mentioned Feb 10. I'll put it out there. Do you see Ben Simmons moving before the trade deadline? Honestly,
Daryl Morey is he's still saying he's still saying star for star. And I think some of the rumors have started to die down a little bit. Although the other day I did hear, I can't remember if it was JJ Redick or if it was Tim Legler that was talking about.
I think it was possibility.
I think it might have been JJ Redick.
I think it was Redick.
The possibility of, like, Daryl Morey knows this player, and that's James Harden.
Yep.
I really think that a James Harden for Ben Simmons straight up, I think really could be a win-win for both sides.
Now, it's a win-win, obviously. It's a win, at least to me, for the 76ers. Is that truly a win for the Nets? Truly.
I think you just have to change. Ben Simmons will have to change the way he plays. He might have to play the four. He might have to play the five. This is what JJ Redick was saying on ESPN the other day. He could even play as an undersized five alongside Kevin Durant.
I'm not against it. I just think I reckon it works for both teams. I think they'll have to add. I think the 76ers would have to send picks with it for the Nets to accept it. To be completely honest, I it's not a bad. I think it complements both teams. I think it really, you know, Joel Embiid is 26, 27. He's clearly in the prime of his career. Clearly, you can't have.
He can stay healthy.
You can't have a guy, you know, a team that's also over the luxury tax as well. You can't have a guy that's making $33 million sit on or do nothing in the entire NBA. And have Joel playing the way he's playing. He needs a star for a win now. Otherwise, they're not going to win with the years that he's got. There's just no way it's going to happen.
No, I think purely on the fact that in this day and age, you can't just have one singular superstar to win a championship. It's just not.
No, you're right. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So you can't, you know,
not,
what else?
Not, yeah, not in this era. Not even in the last 10 years. Like, I think the only team that you could possibly say where they have done it with one star. Well, look, Milwaukee did what they did last year. I think that might be not so much an anomaly, but yeah, that might be the exception to the rule. But you think back to the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, one true superstar.
Yeah, had little pieces around him, but they weren't like star, like two superstars or a superstar and a star. Yeah, no, that's Paul. That's fair. That's definitely fair to say. I like it. I mean, they might probably have to send Tyrese Maxey as well. I don't know.
The thing is, another point guard on that team. Like, oh, I'm not sure where that sort of fits in. And yeah, Tyrese Maxey would have to take a massive backseat.
But like you said, but maybe like a Simmons moves to a four or something like that. It depends what happens in Kyrie. That's the other thing as well. So
no, that's right.
I'll just rattle off some other players just to see if you think they'll be named. I'll moved at least in this season. I don't see a few of these until off season, but. Dame Lillard.
I mean, that would be monumental if he's moved. I don't think anyone's going to touch him at the moment because he's hurt. He's got that as an abdominal strain at the moment. I think is he looking at surgery or
he's looking at surgery.
I think that's imminent. So I think he could possibly be done for this season. That's the only reason I don't see Lillard moving before the trade deadline, because you're essentially not going to get him this season. So I think that will be done in the off season.
What about Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal's going nowhere.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
No, the way that Washington.
Interesting, you're saying that.
Look, Washington has played much better than what they have in previous seasons. I like the way that they're sort of constructed their team. Only a couple of weeks ago, they were like three games above 500 and they were well entrenched in the eight. They've dropped four straight at the moment. So, you know, that's a little misleading for the way that they're playing at the moment. They're not relying so much on Bradley Beal to be the ungodly scorer that he was last year. You know, I think they're playing a lot better team basketball this year.
I mean, they at the start of the season we were talking them up. That other last part that we were talking them up as like they were a surprise because they were just lights out.
They had such a hot start to the season.
But they've tailed spin. I think the only reason I say Bradley Beal because he's got a player option next year. So technically, this is his last year contract, and he could decide to go elsewhere next year. So he'd have to be a maybe to be. I don't think he will, but it'd have to be a maybe.
I don't see it. I think the addition there of Spencer Dinwiddie, I think has really helped them. You know, and obviously they got rid of Russell Westbrook, and they acquired some nice pieces there. You know, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, Kyle Kuzma's been the best version of Kyle Kuzma this year. Like, did he have a 2020 game this year, right? Like, yeah, 20, 25 points, 21 rebounds. Yeah. Like, he's being the version of Kyle Kuzma that the Lakers would have wet dreams about.
No, that Lakers always thought he had, and then LeBron's come in and then just said, let's trade everybody. No, they knew they had that after that first year. I'm telling you, I knew as a fan after that first year of him. I said we need to keep this guy. We always had that. That's my feeling.
I think it was the point that he was exceeding expectations for where he was actually picked in the draft.
Well, true, but you know, I mean, I always liked him, but
absolutely.
These two will get traded. Jeremy Grant, I think it's an open secret that, you know, that he is available and will complement.
Yeah, I think the Pistons are definitely shopping him around.
And you know, they just have all these players that are teams to me that are competing that would, if they're clamoring over him, they can get the best possible deal. So it's good for them if it's the case.
Look, they could continue their rebuild with picks. Yeah, they might be able to get some complimentary players, but I think if they're going to move Jeremy Grant, I think they will be looking for first round picks.
And John Collins. It's definitely he's the Hawks are actively shopping him around. He's been actively.
He's been vocal. A little disgruntled this year too, hasn't he?
He's been vocal about not liking what his position is in the Hawks organization. Did sign that 5-year, $125 million deal with him. So that's $23 million a year, $25 million a year goes up there. It's about $25 million a year, isn't? That's tradable. That's not too bad.
No, it's nothing to be sneezed at. But I think also too, I think with the dizzying highs that they had at the end of last season, and you know they've been extremely underwhelming this year, the Atlanta Hawks. That they've been really poor at home. They've started to pick it up a little bit as of late. You know, to start the season off, they couldn't buy a win at home. Since early December, they're like four games under 500. They're like 11-16, and they've just peeled off five straight.
Yeah.
So you take those five games out of it over the past week and a half or 2 weeks, that means they were like 6-16 since December.
Correct.
And I think that's enough to make anyone disgruntled.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Especially if you're not, you don't think that you're contributing and you don't think that you're helping the team. That showed faith in you by signing you to a fairly decent contract.
So last thing before we finish, we mentioned players, but do you see a big splash trade happen before Feb 10 or up until Feb 10?
I don't think we see any superstar. I think just the fact that
I don't see anything. Yeah, right. I don't think it's going to be like a big wow. You know, the only one that would wow would be if Ben Simmons moves, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think if Jeremy Grant moves, it's not going to be like massive.
That's not a needle mover.
I agree. I think it's not going to be a very big trade deadline. It'll be trades, but it won't be like.
It's going to be teams looking for complementary pieces. Like you said, the big names, I guess, that were out there, we mentioned there before. All the talk, talk over the last month is Damian Lillard. But now that he's hurt, I think that's totally out the window. So there's not going to be any moving on for Portland, at least for now. Who are sort of floundering, even more and more as they can't buy a road win this year. I think they've only got 6 or 7 road wins this year. So they're getting some of their young guys minutes, which is good for the long run. Like Nasir Little, Anthony Simons, guys like that are getting good meaningful minutes, and that's good for player development. So that's kind of a good thing for them, but I don't see a team trading for Damian Lillard right now when you're not going to get any purchases out of him.
I agree. I think it's going to be a bit lackluster trade deadline personally.
And I've seen some very crazy rumors sort of floating around that The Pelicans are very, very interested in CJ McCollum. And a lot of teams should be interested in CJ McCollum, but the latest rumors that are going around.
So he did a podcast with Bill Simmons, and he said, and because even Bill said straight up, because he's a big trade machine fiend, Bill Simmons podcast, old ESPN analyst. But he said, "I'm sorry, I always mention your name in every trade deadline." And then he come back himself, and CJ said, "Yeah, I'm sick. Not just you guys. I'm sick. My name comes up every year in every trade deadline because of where they are. Basically, it's all the time because it's not Dame, and he's not being nothing against the team or anything like that. He just says my name always comes up."
It's nice to be wanted from all you guys,
he says. He was laughing it off, but he goes, "I just want 1 year where he's all just shut up," and they probably will shut up this year. But it's possible.
And that's the thing. I think that's where it's sort of gone a little bit quiet until sort of recently, because the big talk was Damian Lillard. So that's sort of gone by the wayside. But yeah, I don't think anything happens there.
I think Portland do off season moves. That's what's going to happen to me. I personally think that's what's going to happen with them. So
yeah, and look, they're to sort of be commended as well, because they've had injury problems this year to their two best players, you know, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. So for them to be, I guess, sort of technically staying afloat, and they're in the 10 spot at the moment, even though they're 8 games under 500, like the bottom, that middle to bottom of the West is pretty ordinary, and the very, very bottom of the East is ordinary.
Well, that will do it this week. What is this week? But we NBA's pods, we try to like to stretch out, which is good because it gives us more. There's more content and more sort of free reign to talk about instead of all the games. I like the way we do this, to be completely honest. So, up until the playoffs, we'll still definitely put like this, you know, probably at least 4 or 5 more up until the playoffs anyway. So there's plenty more to talk about in the NBA.
No, that's right. We got trade deadline coming up. We'll talk about the All-Star game.
That is it. So don't forget, as always, our socials are Twitter at Final Play Pod, Facebook as always Final Play Podcast. We're up to episode 195, getting close to episode 200, where we're looking at some surprises for our 200th episode.
Bring up the double ton.
Double ton. No. We would never do that in cricket, but you're right. Double ton. We both wouldn't do that in cricket. As always, shout out to gimco.com.au, Eureka Sports Cards, for hosting our pods on their community page.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it looks like they've got the Gimco Podcast Network back up and running too. That's on Spotify. Nice. So you can check that out as well. You just search in Spotify. You can just search Gimco, G-I-M-K-O, and their podcast network comes up. So you can give those guys a like and a follow as well as us. Like, all of our content is on there. Also on our own Spotify link, which you just search Final Play Podcast and sort of scroll down a little bit, and you'll find our little icon. And you can give us a follow from there as well. So, always grateful for what Gimco does for us and Eureka Sports Cards. So, always a big shout out to those guys and our regular listeners on there. It's terrific.
Well, that will do it. My name's Jason Bam Bam Smith. Had to be Bam Bam.
K-pop
Bam Bam.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I like the conspiracy theory behind it, though. It's not bad at all.
It's not out of the realms of possibility, being that it's 50% vote. It's not out of the realms of
no, that's right. And it's very easy to jump on the NBA app, or to jump on the NBA website and to cast your vote. It takes literally like 2 minutes. So,
It's interesting.
Theory.
I know. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, that's super. And it's just something that you wouldn't, I don't know, that you wouldn't necessarily hear a lot of. So, and I kind of like that where you have stars, and, you know, obviously he's a K-pop star. But, you know, you have guys that are in the limelight, in the spotlight a lot, that don't just, you know, that they say that they love the NBA, that they love basketball. And you say, "Oh, who's your favorite player?" And they say something boring like LeBron James. Or Steph Curry. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's uber boring. Like, you know, think outside the box.
No, this guy, I jumped once I read that, I jumped on his Instagram page, and he loves Wiggins. Man, he loves Wiggins. So
yeah, and that's what I mean, and that's good. There should be, there absolutely should be more of it. So, I like that. I like that conspiracy theory a lot. So, I guess I'll sign off as Miles. Thank God we didn't talk about Zion Plum.
No, not yet. I'm saving that one.
There's nothing to talk about.
Not yet. No, I'm saving that one. I've been compiling. I haven't told you. I've been compiling information about your boy Zion. Well, he's not your boy because you haven't even seen him play technically. So.
No, I mean we've seen him for a smidge last year.
Yeah, this is true. No, we'll no more Zion talk until he's back on the until he's back at least anyway.
Which who the hell knows when that is?
Who knows? All right. Have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.